This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Bonnie North. In honor of Black History Month, we're highlighting several Black women who are making history in their roles and industries here in Wisconsin. It's a series we call Black Women Firsts. One of these women is the state superintendent of public instruction, another is a dental student, and the third is an artist. They've all been the first Black woman to hold their respective titles and positions. Today, WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell speaks with State Superintendent Carolyn Stanford Taylor. Becoming the first Black woman to hold the state superintendent position isn't the only history Stanford Taylor has made in her life. Her family was one of the first to integrate schools in Marks, Mississippi. Stanford Taylor talks about how her life experiences prepared her for the state superintendent role.
I think my whole life and my life experiences in schools have prepared me for this position. As you know, we were one of the first families to integrate schools, and we lived in a segregated city. So that was monumental because my foundation was built in an all-Black school. And moving to the white school and being subjected to different treatment there than I had had in my all-Black community was an awakening for me. And what happened during that time was, of the other families who attended, we saw that many of the students did not make it to graduation. And a lot of that was due to what happened to them after they integrated schools. We didn't have the same kinds of supports that we had experienced before. Matter of fact, it was widely known to us that we were not wanted there. So the adults in the building were not the caring, nurturing adults that we had experienced in our all-Black schools. And so, minus the relationships that you have with a caring adult, someone that you know that's in your corner and supportive of you, who encourages you and tell you that you can be and do anything that you want to do, then you kind of succumb to those limitations that they place on you. And having had that experience and knowing that many of the students who didn't graduate were just as bright as I was, but because of that lack of support and advocacy, they did not get to become all they could be, then that made me even more passionate about this work around education and how education should be the great equalizer.
The fact that you are the first Black woman to be the superintendent of public instruction in Wisconsin, what goes through your mind when you hear that?
Actually, when I hear people talking about me being the first thing that comes to my mind is that I did not set out to be the first. That has never been top of the mind for me. I do this work because I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about the next generation and how we usher them to success. And so this first, if I can be a model of success for any student that might be struggling, then that's a bonus. But that was not the original intent.
But I'm sure you knew you would have been the first before you were appointed, correct?
Well, it was all in the timing. I've been at this agency for 19 plus years now. And I served as an assistant state superintendent for 17 and a half of those years. When our governor was elected, we didn't have a clue about who he might appoint. People guessed, but we didn't know that for sure. So when he approached me and announced that he was going to appoint me, it wasn't something that I had prepared for, that I had given a lot of thought to, wow, we'll be making history. It wasn't about that. It was continuing the work of this agency that I had been involved in all of those years, the work around equity. Because looking at our state, we can see the need is great out there. When we look at our data and we look at the students who were not as successful, and thinking about the impact that I could have in this position that I could be the voice that talks about and brings to light some of these other issues and the work that we should and could be doing around them, then that was an opportunity for me. So this, to me, was a gift to be in this position.
Was there any kind of pressure that was on you in this position that you were aware of?
So I'd say there's pressure, but I'd say it's self-imposed. Because again, it goes back to my background. So what people would have had me believe during that time is that I was not worthy, I'm not intelligent enough to be in this position, that people would seek to put limitations on you. And so for me to be in this position, to have been elevated to this position, means a lot. And I think it means a lot to others who look like me, who now can believe that they can be, because they see that they could aspire to be state superintendent.
So what have been the challenges, if any, that you faced being in this position? And who or what has helped you navigate those?
So that's a very good question. Again, I think the challenges are the ones that exist for our children and families in our communities, and trying to figure out how we as a school system are able to encourage collaboration and partnership with other agencies. I say to educators when I talk to them, the challenges today are greater than they've ever been. Our children come to us with more needs than they've ever had. And it's not just the child, because the children exist within families, and families exist within communities. And so we have to have healthy communities, healthy families, in order to have healthy schools. And we can't do it in isolation. We have them for 7 hours or so. But if we're not working with families to try to improve their situations, then we're just kind of spinning our wheels. We do the best we can, but we do better work when we're working in collaboration with our community and our families.
So collaborating with communities and families, is that's part of also what helps you do your job?
Absolutely.
So what don't we get to see as far as what it takes or what it means to be the first Black woman doing what you're doing? Whether it's mental, emotional, the physical toll, what don't we get to see?
So it goes back to that whole self-imposed piece, because you feel like you have to be your best in all situations. And so for me, I think a lot of times I over-prepare, because I want to present myself and education in the best light. And I mean, that's from the physical appearance to what comes out of my mouth. And so a lot of times people will ask you to be places or do things, and you're thinking in your head, okay, I've got some homework here to do. Because in the South, that was the way it was. If you were a person of color, you had to be so much more or achieve so much more than the average person to be deemed qualified. And I still carry that with me.
Is that a good or a bad thing, though, do you think?
Interesting. I think it is probably stressful and, unfortunately, sometimes I think I pass that on to our kids.
Mm-hmm. I feel okay saying I think a lot of Black families have probably done that. Our ancestors, relatives, were living in those moments when they saw that doing the same amount of work or having to do more and not even still feeling like they were equal to other folks. So, yeah, I've heard it, so.
So you understand.
Yes. So it's 2020, and we still have the first Black this, that, and the third. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, that we still have those kind of milestones? I mean, they're good, of course, but it's 2020. We should be on the second, third, fourth, fifth at this point.
You are absolutely right. There is movement, though. I've seen it. We have made progress this is my 40th year in education, so I can look back and say, from the days that I started out teaching in the classroom in Madison, I was the only person of color in my building for about 7 years. And I look now at the progress in terms of how we're diversifying our workforce. Are we where we should be? By no means. But we are a little bit farther along than we started. And so I would be happy when we reach those days where we don't have to say, yeah, and she's the first black doctor or the first this or that. I think an example is if we look at the national level in our legislature to see that we had a whole class of women who came in, women of different hues. That was encouraging. I think it should have been encouraging to the nation. It was encouraging to me, I know. But yes, we need more diversity. And of course, in education, that's one of the things that I think most districts are talking about, is how do we recruit and then retain educators of color.
Do you think there are certain careers or fields where it's especially difficult for a woman of color to succeed? And if so, like, which career fields come to mind for you?
Well, I just had an opportunity to talk to a group of students about Career Day. And one of the things I talked to them about was this whole idea of transferable skills. So when you choose a career path, think about, and they have the opportunity now to go into, we have academic and career planning that starts at sixth grade. They have career pathways. And so they get to know what kinds of skills are needed for certain jobs. And then you get to talk about, well, if I'm in journalism, I can use this in this place. And that's almost anywhere. Mm-hmm. So there are many transferable skills. Now, if we're talking about the medical field and the number of years you need to go to school, and yeah, that might be a little bit more difficult. And that's where I see that's still very apparent to me, is in the medical field, we don't have a lot of people of color.
What do you want your legacy to be? I can see the passion that you have for education, and you are passionate about helping students to develop their full potential. So what do you hope to leave behind?
I don't think any of us get to where we are alone. I'm here because of all those other shoulders that I stand on. And so any accomplishment has to be the accomplishment of the collective, and that we've managed along the way to bring other people on board who have the same beliefs and passion around education and the value of an education, and are moving the agenda so that it's inclusive of all students. So we're talking about how do we remove those barriers to opportunities and access for students who've historically not had that. And I think my legacy, if there's a legacy, is that in some small way, I contributed to that happening.
Carolyn Stanford Taylor is the Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction. She spoke with WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter, Taryn Powell, as a part of our series, Black Women Firsts. Join us next Tuesday for another installment.